Today's scripture is Colossians 1, 15 through 23. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. Christ is also the head of the church, which is his body. He is the beginning, supreme over all who rise from the dead. So he is first in everything. For God, in all his fullness, was pleased to live in Christ, and through him God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. This includes you who were once far away from God. You were his enemies, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. Yet now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. As a result, he has brought you into his own presence, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. But you must continue to believe this truth and stand firmly in it. Don't drift away from the assurance you received when you heard the good news. The word of God for the people of God.
Hallelujah. Good morning. How you doing this morning? Yeah? All right. It's good to see you. Good to see you. Yeah. Good to see you too, Pastor Kelly. Thank you. Yeah. Hey, it's great to be here with you, and just want to welcome again our guests. And he told me not to do it. In fact, he said he'd be mad at me if I did. But I have some good friends here, and I'm just going to introduce you. I won't say a whole bunch, but Don and Beth Bartlett, could you just could you stand up? So yeah, thank you. All right, there we go. So he probably should know by now that when he tells me to do something, I tend to not do that. So, but we've known each other for about 40 years, and he was actually singing in the choir the night that I went down and gave my heart to the Lord. And in his words, he says, man, when you came down, I thought to myself, that's a guy I don't want to mess around with. I was a very different person before, and then I was a very different person after. And that's you guys have heard my testimony before, but let's just say that when I went down to that altar, I was literally covered in bruises from a fight that I'd been in where it turned and a whole group of people at a party turned against me and took turns using my head as a punching bag. And I was ready to literally die. It's a long story, but I went to that church that night, which is another long story, and Jesus radically transformed my life. And that's 40 years ago, and I am as grateful today for that change as I was back then. So thank you. Don, you've been a part of that experience and my journey for 40 years now. So it's good to have you here today. Yeah, so both of you, and Beth too. So, all right. So this season, but leading up to Easter, we are discussing and looking at the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. That blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary. And one of the primary things that we're trying to drive home is that there is still power in the blood. Even in this day and age, one of the things that when we decided to do this sermon series, one of the things that was kind of in my own heart was acknowledging the reality that the contemporary church today doesn't talk much about the blood of Jesus. In fact, in some ways, I think we're very uncomfortable with the idea that God had to send his son and that the Son literally was crucified, a painful crucifixion on a cross. His blood was shed. And I can guarantee you that to people that I talk to out in the community, people of the supposedly sophisticated 21st century, man, that's almost incomprehensible to them. This idea, it seems barbaric, right? It seems that was stuff that they did like thousands of years ago. So in the first message of this series, I spent some time kind of addressing those concerns and talking about it. And then we looked at some passages in the Old Testament that talked about really the reality that there is no forgiveness without the shedding of blood. And we talked about why was there all the sacrifices and why was all this going on. And basically, just to boil it down, talked about that God is a covenant God, that God longs to be in relationship with his people, and that the people and all of us deep down inside, we have this sense, this need that our sins, even if we don't say it that way, need to be atoned for. Something needs to happen. And most of the time, I talk about this too, we tend to punish ourselves. We try to punish ourselves to atone for our mistakes, or people self-medicate. They get caught up in all kinds of addictions, drugs and sex and whatever, and all of it in an effort. What are we really doing? We're trying to atone for our sin. We're trying to feel better about our lives. And God knows that we need this atonement. So anyway, so I tried to just start off the series with this understanding that the blood, yes, the shed blood of Jesus Christ is still relevant and necessary for us today. Amen? Amen. There is still power in the blood. Another concern, though, that led us to do this series is that what I also find today is that people don't really, even Christians, don't take the role of Satan very seriously. In fact, most people would say that there is no devil. He doesn't even exist. But the reality is that Satan is seeking to devour all of humanity. Just look around you. Open your eyes. Go down to the cut and watch humanity experience firsthand people whose lives are being devoured as they're living in tents and living, you know, in shacks and different things there in this country, in this city. Look at the people that are whose lives are, you know, lost to drugs, who have given themselves over, people who are dying every day, overdosing on opioids and different all the drugs that are out there. You cannot tell me that Satan is not actively seeking to devour human beings. Because you want to know why Satan does that? Because God loves people. God loves you. God loves me. And when Satan can harm us or devour us or get us away from God's purposes, he's trying to strike at the very heart of God. But people don't take this very seriously. In fact, many would say again, oh, that's just old-fashioned stuff. We don't believe in Satan anymore or any of those kinds of things. But what is John in the book of Revelation? He tells us that Satan's time is short, and therefore he is seeking to devour humanity. And as a result of this, life in this world, by the way, it will not always be fair. It's not going to be fair. Like you can say, well, that's not fair. Well, you're probably right. We can start off in deeply dysfunctional families. Families that so deeply wound us that it impacts us for the rest of our lives. There can be moments of intense trauma that we could have never anticipated that can bring about pain in a way that is deep. I mean, think about what's going on in the Ukraine right now. You know, these are people that, and again, I think sometimes it's hard for us to comprehend, but these are people essentially like you and me. These are people like us who were just working and living and having families and with hopes and aspirations, many of them Christians seeking to follow after God. And one moment they're doing that, and the next moment they have tanks literally blowing up their homes. That's pretty intense. The contact that when we were going to go on a mission field, this summer, which, you know, we were going to go to Russia. We're not doing that. But anyway, you know, she had to flee with her husband and her two kids because she was a Ukrainian living in St. Petersburg, Russia. Can you think of the impact, again, on those kids' lives? We live in an aggressively addictive society, which I've already mentioned, that's incredibly selfish. Everyone's looking out for themselves. How do we deal with this? How do we deal with such an onslaught? How can we find freedom from our sin, our shame, as we just sang about here this morning, our addictive behaviors and our pain? Well, John, again, in the book of Revelation, stated it like this. They overcame him, that would be the devil, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they did not, and they loved not their lives unto death. Did you catch that? Anything that you're dealing with this morning, anything you got going on in your life, anything that you know and you need to overcome, you need to find the place of victory, you will find that victory through the blood of Jesus Christ, literally. The blood of Jesus Christ, then by the word of your own testimony, which basically is faith, an expression of faith in the blood that was shed for you, and you do not love your own life more than anything else. You're willing to lay down your life fully for God. Amen? Amen? There is still power. I agree with John, do you? And I believe that there is power in the blood of Jesus. So since that opening message, just really quickly, by the way, I'm still in my introduction. You got to love it, right? Yeah, so. But since that opening message, and this will be really quick, we've gone over a few things. When we looked at the blood of Christ that was shed in the New Testament, we saw some different situations where the blood helps us overcome our sinful will. Like sometimes we just feel helpless or powerless, like we just are sucked right into that sin without, you know, like we have no resistance to that. But the blood of Christ helps us overcome our sinful will. And I won't re-preach all these messages. So helps us overcome the effects of past trauma. Helps us overcome our pain and brings us healing. Helps us overcome our shame. And we saw all these in the life of Jesus and different moments where Christ's blood was shed. Crown of thorns, when drops of blood were shed, and when he was whipped, and then when he was on the cross. But there is more. Last week, Pastor Tony shared about how the blood of Christ redeems us, pays our ransom, justifies us, and reconciles us to God. Man, you'd be like, wow, that is so much. But there's more. There's more. The blood of Christ does even more than what we've talked about so far. So today we're going to look at again at a few things. Number one, his blood provides forgiveness of sin. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. When I went forward to that altar, I did not realize what a burden my sin was. I'd lived with it for so long. But when I went forward and I knew that God forgave me because of what Christ had done, it was an amazing lifting of a burden. This sense of being forgiven, it was so powerful. Words can't even begin to express it. In Hebrews 9:15, it says, "For this reason, he, being Jesus, is the mediator of a new covenant, so that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, because a death has occurred that redeems them from the transgressions under the first covenant." So let me tell you why I've read that scripture. Humanity has a problem. Did you know that? We have a problem. We're working really hard to pretend like we don't have a problem. But God keeps kind of reminding us that we do have a problem. Like, you know, and I'm not saying that God sent it, but like we have this little thing called a pandemic that's been going on, and we've really been able to do nothing to overcome it, right? It's just kind of run its course. And God, I think it's a reminder, though, in those moments, God is saying, there's a problem. Things are broken. Things aren't working right. But we have a problem. God has established how we should live if we're to enjoy covenant relationship with God. Did you catch that? God has shown us how we should live. A lot of Christians today also can't stand the old, you know, what we call the old covenant, or the Old Testament. But it's in that covenant that we find what God expects, what God's plan is really for our lives, how we should live. But unfortunately, we continuously violate the covenant. We go against what God says, and then we find ourselves enslaved by our sin and under the power of the devil. I remember when I first started smoking weed. Again, this is a long time ago now. I'm not talking about last Tuesday. I'm talking about, you know, a long time ago. But I remember when I first started smoking weed, I was like, oh, man, yeah, this is so cool. Man, I got this, right? I don't need to do it. I'm just going to do it this time, you know. And then, then the next time would roll around and be, oh, yeah, you know, this is not a big deal. I'm just going to do it. Well, you know, pretty soon, my freedom, so to speak, to do that, to choose to go that way, I became enslaved. I became a slave to weed and then to other drugs and other drugs and other drugs. And pretty soon, this guy that thought he had it all under control, my life was completely out of control. And I had no power over these things at all. But, I love the buts, you know, but the death of Jesus has redeemed us. It's brought us into a new covenant relationship with God based on his own shed blood. And because of Christ's shed blood, we are forgiven and restored in our relationship with God. Amen? Amen. All right. So listen, let me just say this right now. You may be here today and you're like, oh man, come on, man. Don't you got something like deeper for me, you know, some meaning of some hidden prophecy in the book of first whatever from, you know, some apocryphal writing. That's not my style, number one. And number two, you may be here, you may know in your head and maybe even in your heart about the blood of Christ and being forgiven. But let me tell you where I hope this takes probably most of you in this room today. I hope it brings you to the front here as you receive communion. And in a sense, whether you do it literally or figuratively, that you fall on your face in gratitude for what God has done for you. Listen, I talk about that time 40 years ago, but for me, it could have just happened yesterday. I am thankful that the blood of Christ was shed for the forgiveness of my sins, that my sins are forgiven. They're forgiven. And so can yours if you put your trust in Jesus Christ today. So referring to this first covenant, the writer to the Hebrews again, he states this. He says, hence, not even the first covenant was inaugurated or, you know, established without blood. For when every commandment had been told to all the people by Moses in accordance with the law, he took the blood of calves and goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop, and he sprinkled both the scroll itself and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the covenant that God has ordained for you. So there's the first covenant was made in blood, right? Yeah. Now just, I'm going to skip down. There was more on the page there, but now listen to what Jesus says in Matthew 26:26-28. While they were eating, Jesus took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it, gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them saying, drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. So there was an old covenant that God made with the people that really only kind of was an appeasement in a sense. It couldn't really completely do the work of forgiveness, but at least the people knew that they could come to God, they could offer up an animal, and that God, that kept them in right relationship with God. But now, how much more? Through the blood of Christ, now we experience forgiveness of sin. The second thing is that his blood not only forgives us, but it cleanses us from sin and a guilty conscience. Are you with me here? So you're not just forgiven, which is where a lot of Christians live. In fact, I'll be honest with you, and if you have the bumper sticker, forgive me, but I don't like the bumper sticker that says Christians aren't perfect, they're just forgiven. I'm sorry, but that is not a good testimony. And it's not a good testimony to the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Because the scriptures tell me that I'm not only forgiven, but the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses me from all sin. Hallelujah. Come on, I see some nods, but there's got to be an amen to that. I don't want to keep walking around just living in my sin and over again. Please forgive me. Oh, please forgive me. Oh, please forgive me. And God will. God will forgive you over and over and over again. But I want to live into the power of God. I want to live into the power. I don't want to diminish what Jesus Christ did for me on the cross. And somehow, even if I stumble still, even if I keep falling back, I want to stand by faith in the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. That my heart is completely clean. I am free. Hallelujah. I don't have to keep living in that stuff from the past. I don't have to keep living out of shame and guilt and looking back and remorse and all the stuff that people tend to do. And so let's just smoke another bong hit or just more, you know, I don't know what, I can't even use the terminology anymore. That's how out of practice I am. But whatever you're doing, don't do it anymore. That stuff's not helping you, right? It's not helping you. One thing I do remember is I'd get so high, right? And when I was high, I'd be like, yeah, man, woo, life's good. And then, though, you go to bed at night and you start coming down off that high. And you're just right back where you were before. In fact, it's worse. Because you're messing everything up. And now you suddenly are kind of aware of that. So what do? You get back up and you do it all over again. Man, Jesus has so much more. I sound like Anya right now. There's so much more. God has so much more. So much more. Again, the writers of the Hebrews, he's talking about, it'll go, I'll throw it up there, I'm gonna kind of summarize it, but he says, you know, if God, you know, people were trying to find forgiveness through the blood of goats and calves and all these other things, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to worship the living God? Hallelujah. A clear conscience, a clean, purify our conscience from dead works. And I think that just, a lot of that just means, like a lot of us, even as Christians, you're holding on to things from the past, old hurts, old actions. I remember it took me years to get over some things that I had done just before I came to Christ. Choices I'd made, things I'd done to people. And I'd just be tootling along, and all of a sudden, this incredible weight would come upon me as I remembered that activity. But I don't, I'm free. The blood of Jesus has cleansed me from all of those things. Again, in 1 John 1:6-9, it says, if we have fellowship with him while we're walking in darkness, we lie and do not do what is true. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. God, help us to just even remotely grasp what that means. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he who is faithful and just will forgive us our sins and again cleanse us from it, just like it never happened. And I think that the shame of it all is, in a sense, is that I think when we go back and relive those situations, is that we are trying still to atone for our own sin. We have not yet really relinquished ourselves fully to Christ. Like there's something in us that says, that's too good to be true. It's just too good to be true. I have to punish myself for those things that I did even so long ago. And I just want to, sometimes I can be a little hard, but I think when we do that, it's like we're just crucifying Christ all over again. Or we're saying, what you did is not good enough. I got to take care of it and deal with it myself. So the blood of Jesus forgives us, but then there's even more. The blood of Jesus cleanses us, but there's even more. Hallelujah. There's more. Hallelujah. His blood makes it possible to have peace with God. To have peace with God. So you couldn't have peace without forgiveness. I think we struggle in our peace with God because we don't allow the cleansing of the blood to really have its effect in our lives. But God wants to bring you to this place where you have peace with him. For God, it says in Colossians, which was read earlier, For God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ, and through him God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. And you could say, well, everything on heaven and earth, you know that. Well, what is that? This, and he goes, this includes you, who were once far away from God. You were his enemy, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions, yet now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. And as a result, he has brought you into his own presence, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. God, help us. Help us. Help us to live fully into all that you've done for us. Give us new revelation today of your shed blood. Man, Jesus' blood makes it possible for us to end our war with God. And the sad thing is I think that many of us, I'm not saying that you're not saved, but I think many of us are still contending with God. We're still fighting God. We're resisting God. God is just longing for you to experience everything that's being talked about in this series and all that's in Scripture. And yet we persistently want to go our own way. We persistently want to work it out for ourselves. We persistently think that if we just do something more, when God is just really saying, man, would you, you know, you maybe raise the white flag like, you know, like I kind of, and the Lord is just inviting you to just go and just put it all the way up and experience the fullness of all that God has for you. Jesus' blood provides forgiveness. Jesus' blood cleanses us from a guilty conscience, and we stand before God without fault or blemish. The blood of Jesus brings peace with God, but it's not just a peace where God is still distant and far away. At least he's off your back kind of peace, you know. Well, I believe, you know, in Jesus, so now God's not on my back anymore. You know, he's not trying to, no, there's more. The blood of Jesus brings us into fellowship with God. Amen. There's an intimacy that God is longing for. And yes, you needed to be forgiven. Yeah, you needed to be cleansed. Yes, you need to be at peace with God. But all of that, and really at the very heart of the cross and of Jesus' shed blood, is to open the door for you and I that we can be in intimate fellowship with him. Don't forget, it says that you Gentiles used to be outsiders. You were called uncircumcised heathens by the Jews who were proud of their circumcision, even though it affected only their bodies and not their hearts. In those days, you were living apart from Christ. You were excluded from citizenship among the people of Israel, and you did not know the covenant promises God had made to them. You lived in this world without God and without hope. But now you've been united with Christ Jesus. So once you were far away from God, but now you have been brought near to him through the blood of Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you for a hallelujah. There we go. The original word that we translate brought near, it has this sense of God literally reaching out and taking hold of you. So this isn't about, there is many places in Scripture that say draw near to God, where we do that. But the blood of Jesus specifically, Jesus coming to earth and shedding his blood, and I'm going to drive the camera guy crazy, is God stepping down, and I'm not God, but I'm just stepping down and literally reaching out and taking hold of Doreen and in a sense, not letting her go. And I am so thankful for that. Now, she could have run away from me. See if Bridget would run away from me. She just smiled. That's good. So the thing is, God took this action. And he takes this action with every person on the face of the planet, where he has literally extended himself. He's come near through Jesus Christ, through the shed blood, to take hold of us. And there's something about that that's very, that's intimate. There's this sense of God just wanting to be in relationship with you. And the question is, will you let God take hold of you? Will you allow God to take hold of you and to bring you near to himself? As I was walking over here this morning, I was listening to one of my favorite songs called You Won't Relent. And the song is about, it's the heart of God. They just say, you won't relent until you have it all. You won't relent until you have it all. And I can't remember the second line. You won't relent until you have it all. My heart is yours. My heart is yours. Thank you. You won't relent until you have it all. And I have looked back over the course of my life, and coming over again today, I listen to it almost every day when I walk over, when I get the opportunity to walk over the church, because I'm so thankful that God has not relented pursuing me in my life. That the blood of Jesus is an indication of a God who steps out from his high and lofty place, so to speak, and takes hold of me. And I'm thankful that he does not let me go. Because there's sometimes this little tendency to kind of be like, you know, to just go a different direction. But thank God. All right. There's more. There is more. There's more. But I'm going to wrap it up for today. And everybody said, amen. I got even some other passages. But God has brought you near, and he wants you to be in his household, it says in Ephesians 2:19, that you are a part of the household of God. And then in Hebrews it says, let us draw near to God, because the blood of Christ has opened the door for us to do so. Do you see what Jesus has done for you? Even you Christians, even those of you here, maybe you've been Christians for a long time. But man, we can never take for granted these things. We get used to them kind of. I think we take what Jesus did for us for granted. He's done so much. His blood provides forgiveness. His blood cleanses us from sin and a guilty conscience. His blood makes peace with God. His blood brings us into fellowship with God. So if you're here today and you've already put your trust in Christ, I invite you to come forward. We're going to take communion. We're going to let you just take it on your own. It's just here at the front. It's open to anybody as long as you understand and to put your trust in Jesus Christ, okay? You know the forgiveness of sins. You're welcome to come and to take communion. But I pray that as you do that, you would either kneel here at the altar or go back to your seats. But just out of my heart, as I was even preparing this message, I'm just so thankful. I am so grateful for the blood of Christ. And as we take communion, let's not take it lightly. And I know it's just a little cup and a wafer, and we've, you know, done this with COVID, had to make them individual. But as you eat that wafer and you consider that the body of Jesus was broken, beaten, and punished with the punishment that you and I deserve. And when you drink that cup and you think about just what we've shared here today, about what the blood of Jesus has done for each and every one of you. But if you're here and you have not experienced forgiveness, you've not experienced that cleansing of a guilty conscience, you have not made peace with God, or you really don't know what it is to be in fellowship with God, I invite you to come today. And maybe in taking communion, this would be your expression, a renewed commitment or a new commitment to Jesus. And maybe you've never given your heart to Jesus before, but today you would say, I need peace. I need to know forgiveness. I need to know what it is to be cleansed and free. Then I invite you to come and to take communion. And if that happens to be anybody in this room, that today's the day that you're going to commit your life to Jesus, I would appreciate if you just, I'm going to be right here. you just come over and share that with me and let me know so I can pray with you and welcome you into the family of God and welcome you into this new life that God has for you because of what Jesus did. So I'll be here, or if anybody else wants a prayer, you can just kind of stop while the worship team is singing. But God, I just pray now as we just conclude our time here with a, you know, an act of worship, and as we're taking communion and acknowledging Jesus, all that you've done for us, Lord, would you touch our hearts afresh and anew? For some of us, we need to really just cultivate a gratitude today. Cultivate a gratitude, a thankfulness for all that you've done for us. Or maybe for some of us, we've been Christians for a long time, but we've never really fully raised the white flag of surrender and said, God, my life is completely yours. I want to experience everything that's being talked about today. And then Jesus, for those who don't know you, I pray today would be the day of salvation. Today would be the day that we would surrender our hearts to you. And if that's anybody even watching online, reach out to me. You can shoot us an email or you know, give us a call or something so that we can pray with you. But Lord God, we just commit these thoughts and these, the power of the blood. Just pray that you would just work mightily now. Amen.